Would you like to turn to the book of Genesis? That's the first book in the Bible. And we'll start with chapter 29. By Jove, they're quicker than I am. And we'll read from verses 15 to 30. Would people like to read them out for me as we're going around? Right, thank you everyone. Tonight, I want to present to you a thrilling and dramatic story. A story that will tear at your heartstrings. A story that will involve the rivalry between two women. A story that will come straight from the pen of Barbara Cartland. It's a story of a plain country girl and a beautiful sister who fight over the love of a handsome stranger. Now, I'm sure that we're all familiar with the basic story of how Jacob fled from his brother Esau and went to live with his uncle Laban. He met and fell in love with Laban's younger daughter, Rachel, and when he asked to marry her, Laban made him work for him for 7 years before he could marry Rachel. After the 7 years, the marriage went ahead. We can imagine this elaborate wedding, with the bride decked out from head to toe with the finest wedding clothes and a great feast that followed the ceremony. Later, the newly married couple returned to their tent, alone at last. But the next morning, Jacob found Rachel's sister Leah in his bed and realized he'd been deceived, and he had to work another 7 years for Laban before he could marry Rachel. Now, when we read this account, we often get caught up in the overall picture of Jacob, the manipulator and con man, finally meeting his match in Laban, and in doing so, we can miss the finer details. And it's of those details I want to look at the two women in this episode. So let's start with Leah. Now, Leah may have been Jacob's first wife, but she wasn't his choice and not part of his plans. Her father Laban had taken advantage of her and insisted that Jacob take her as his wife. But Jacob was in love with Rachel, the younger sister. Leah was plain, and she possibly had a squint or was cross-eyed. But Rachel was beautiful. Every man wanted Rachel. She turned heads wherever she went. But no man gave Leah a second look, unless it was in pity. Jacob served 7 long years for Rachel, and on his wedding night he went into his dark, unlit tent, and we read in verse 25, "When morning came, there was Leah." Now many people will ask, well, how did this make Jacob feel? But I want to ask, how did this make Leah feel? Here was an unloved woman, a woman that maybe was unloved by everyone. Jacob certainly didn't love her. She was plain, and Jacob never pretended to notice her. Her father Laban tells Jacob in Genesis 29, verses 26-27, "It's not our custom to give the younger daughter in marriage before the older one. Finish this daughter's bridal week, then we will give the younger one in exchange for another 7 years of work." And from this, we can assume that Laban had been trying to marry off Leah for years. No one would take her, so he got rid of her this way. And we can see that Leah was unloved by her father, for no caring and loving father would have treated his daughter in this way. Leah was manipulated by her father just as surely as Jacob was. And I wonder if any of us can relate with Leah, because there are those of us who can't call God father because of an unhappy relationship with their own father. They may have felt unloved as long as they can remember because they've not known the unconditional love of a father. There are those who've had an unhappy relationship with a sister or a brother. Those who've been badly hurt by a man or woman who has rejected them. But as we unfold this story, we'll see that God cares for every one of us, and especially the hurting and rejected ones. Because we're all different, we often find it difficult to find someone else who has the same weakness or who shared the same problem. But God does understand, and he does care. He cares so much that he sent his son into the world, one who was tempted in every way, but yet was without sin. We could talk to Jesus because he knows just how we feel. As he hung upon the cross, he knew physical pain beyond anything you and I can imagine. But he also knew the agonizing moment when, without notice, his unbroken, intimate relationship with his Father came to an end. He knew what it was to be deserted, to feel rejected. So he can empathize with you in your situation. But let's look at Leah just a little closer. As we saw in verse 25, Jacob was mortified when he realized he'd been deceived and that Leah had been dumped on him. He could never have imagined this happening. Maybe Laban was hoping that Jacob would come to love Leah. Maybe Leah was hoping against hope that Jacob would love her. But instead, Jacob was furious with Laban and with Leah. So how do you think this made Leah feel? It was obvious. Whoops. It was obvious that Laban did not respect his daughter. The day came and she did as she was told. She had to go into the tent and prepare for the worst when Jacob found out. That was a real ordeal for her. She knew that Jacob didn't want her, but she had to do what her father had ordered. She just hoped that maybe, just maybe, Jacob would come to live her. However, although Leah didn't know it yet, there was one who loved her. In verses 31 and 32 of Genesis 29, we read, "When the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben, for she said, 'This is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me now.'" That, of course, is the dead giveaway. She had hoped that despite what her father had made her do, Jacob would love her, even though there was no mutual attraction and she was plain. She was hoping that Jacob would start to love her, and the way to make that happen was to give him a son. Her complaint was that her husband didn't love her, and for all we know, it was also that she was not beautiful. Perhaps she was angry with God about that too. But such complaints don't bother God. He understands how we feel, and he knows that we have to give vent to our feelings. And the proof is there in verse 31. "When the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren." The Lord, the God of the Bible, loves justice. And if you are being treated unfairly, God knows about it, and in the fullness of time, he will compensate. Did the Lord know how Leah was feeling? Of course he did. And so he opened her womb and she bore a son to Jacob. However, Rachel was barren. The one who was rejected and loved, unloved, was rewarded. But the one that Jacob loved was barren. I'm sure that Leah saw divine compensation in this situation. Leah, the unloved one, got what mattered. Nothing could stop Jacob from being the father of many sons, for that was foreordained in the covenant with Abraham and Isaac. In God's justice, Leah, the unloved one, was bringing the covenant to pass, while Rachel, the beautiful and beloved one, was barren. The one who was less than nothing in the eyes of the world, the one who no doubt had a very low opinion of herself, the one who no doubt had been told all her life that she would never amount to anything, was being used by God as part of his plan. And there's a lesson there for every one of us. God doesn't see us as the world sees us, or even as we see ourselves. He's planned from before time the purpose for each one of us. We don't know in advance what he has for us, and we just have to wait for him to use us as we're available to him. Eventually, Leah came to terms with her situation. She kept thinking, "If I have one more son, then perhaps Jacob will love me." It didn't happen. But then with her fourth son, she changed. She named her fourth son Judah, which means praise. And she was saying, "Now I will praise the Lord." Until then, she was hoping her husband would love her. Now she knows that the Lord loves her. Leah had even more compensation, although she didn't live to see it. From her third son Levi came the priesthood, and through her fourth son Judah came Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Jacob never loved Leah, but God did, and through her God carried out his plans for the future of the whole world. But what about Rachel? After all, this is the account of two women. Well, if Leah was the unloved woman, Rachel was the one who had everything. And it's so easy for any of us to look at those who appear to have everything and be envious. But should we feel like that? Is their life all that we imagine it to be? Rachel did appear to have everything. She had a beautiful body. Verse 17 says, Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel was lovely in form and beautiful. Rachel was also brave, for I believe that she's the only woman in the Bible to be called a shepherdess. That work took a lot of courage and meant she had plenty of self-confidence. She had a sense of belonging. She was loved by Jacob, and it would appear she was her father's favourite too. And there was such a feeling of security and of confidence, of being at ease when you know that you are loved. Rachel appeared to have everything. However, there was one thing that Rachel lacked. She was barren. She had almost everything in comparison. Leah was a loser. She was plain. She was rejected. And I'm sure that the rivalry existed between these two sisters. Not on Rachel's part, of course. If you were to ask Rachel if there was any rivalry between her and the sitter, she'd laugh at you. And those who have everything often fail to see how others feel. Rachel couldn't imagine that there was a problem. And that's often the case, because when you have everything you could possibly need, what is there to be jealous about? On the other hand, I'm sure that Leah was jealous of her sister, jealous of the affection shown by their father to Rachel, jealous of Rachel's good looks, jealous of Rachel's self-confidence and easy manner. Often when we feel like that, we get inward looking and have no confidence. Our personality is non-existent, and we have difficulty mixing with people. These two sisters were totally opposite of each other, and no doubt it caused resentment in Leah. Oops. But God knew the situation, and he looked upon Leah with favour. He saw that Leah was not loved, and so he opened her womb. And there, I believe, we see the beginning of jealousy in Rachel. Rachel had the love of her husband, but she wanted more. She wanted a child. She wanted this more than beauty, more than acceptance, more than anything else in the world. She even wanted her to be a mother more than she wanted her husband's affection. To see how desperate she was for a child, we see in Genesis 30, verses 3 and 5, when she said, "Here is Bilhah, my maidservant. Sleep with her so that she can bear children for me, and through her I too can build a family." So she gave Jacob her servant Bilhah as a wife. Jacob slept with her, and she became pregnant and bore him a son. Rachel was even prepared for another woman to carry the child that she could not. Whenever we envy someone who appears to have everything, we might find out that if we knew everything about them, we wouldn't want to swap places for anything. See how her values and priorities have changed. At one time, you couldn't have told Rachel that one day bearing children would be more important to her than the love of her husband. Now see how the tables are turned. Now Rachel is jealous of her sister Leah. In Genesis 30, verse 1, it says, "When Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she became jealous of her sister." No matter who you are, no matter what your situation, there is nothing that is impossible for God. He can, and very often will, intervene. And then that which was so special and so important will be seen to have been nothing compared with what God has done now. This story graphically illustrates what Jesus said in Matthew. This thing of mine keeps going up hand. Right. This story graphically illustrates what Jesus said in Matthew 19, that many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. Leah was the one who had the babies, although she didn't have the beauty. But what Leah had was more important to the kingdom of God than what Rachel had, because Leah bought 4 babies and then would go on to have 2 more. And as we've already seen, Leah's son Levi gave the people of Israel the tribe of Levi, and her son Judah gave the world the Saviour. It's true that eventually God did open Rachel's womb and she did bear 2 sons for Jacob, but she had to wait at least 14 years after her marriage and 21 years after Leah's marriage. At the same time as Rachel bore children to Jacob, God allowed Leah to have 2 more sons. And that prompts a question in our minds. What am I doing that will survive? Is it better to be last now and in the future to be the first? It could well be only a matter of time before those who are now envious, we now envy, will be jealous of us. As it turned out, even Rachel and Jacob began to quarrel. This perfect couple who had a perfect marriage found their perfect life was beginning to unravel. For Rachel went to Jacob in Genesis 31-2 and said, "Give me children or I'll die." And Jacob became angry with him and said, "Am I in the place of God who has kept you from having children?" Rachel had love. Leah had life. Rachel had looks. Leah had the legacy. God was dealing with Rachel. She appeared to have everything, really. What she didn't have eventually broke her. There are many like her who have the brains, the beauty, and the self-confidence, but they're really lost, and maybe God is trying to bring them to the place where they recognize their need of Him. There are many who we both individually and as a church might envy, but let's not forget that what we do have in our jealousy for what we don't have. How easy it is for us to get complacent and forget what a privilege we have. We have the love and assurance of God. We have His promise that He will never leave us nor forsake us. We may not be the biggest or the most beautiful church around, but we are loved. We are loved by the Lord Himself. What is there that can compare with that? What is there to be envious of? Tonight, take notice of this story, and as you leave, determine to go out as Leah, the beloved of God. Be the one who, despite all outward appearances, finds favour with God, the one who is vital in God's plan for the world. Don't be proud, because it's nothing of our doing, but just be content that we are the beloved of God. We are chosen by Him to fulfil His purpose. And there can be no greater privilege than that. Amen.